Today is what we call an open house, and I'm going to read this really quick because I'm going to go into some scripture about what the Lord's been showing myself and our leadership. Didn't we have an incredible leadership meeting yesterday? Our pastors and our board met together to cast some visions for 2018, and it was just a great meeting, and I have to say that I feel renewed and refreshed in a new way because I think we're all on the same page and we're all moving in the same direction, which is important. And so step in line with us as we move to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's our vision and our mission statement. And it really is to connect to God, to grow with others, and to serve our world. And that really sets it up of who we are at our church. Now, go ahead. Chris, I may just let you go ahead and do this, okay? The Lord had me in the book of Ezra. You're like, oh, Ezra. Yeah, Ezra. And it's one of those books that's, I'm going to try not to preach. I really, really am, because I know we have a lot to do, but I just want to go there. It's one of those books that is just history. It's kind of like Numbers and Leviticus. Do you know why the book of Numbers was written? Anybody? It's a census. So if you get really excited about census and numbers and statistics, you will love the book of Numbers. If you don't, you're going to hate the book of Numbers because that's what it's talking about. But they all have a purpose. And sometimes God can bring some nuggets out of history. This book of Ezra was written probably by Ezra, we think, because he was a scribe as well as a prophet. But it goes hand in hand with another book called Nehemiah. Now, the book of Nehemiah talked about rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. I was just in Jerusalem last month, and so I got to see a lot of this came to life for me. And when I was reading about Joppa. Joppa's like only a half a mile from the city of where we were in Tel Aviv. And Joppa is a port. And so it made sense when I was reading this. So anyway, I won't get into a lot of the history lessons. But what happened was the Jews were God's people, and they were chosen. And all of a sudden, they got kind of upset with each other. And the northern kingdom split from the southern kingdom. Do you know that that's part of the enemy? He tries to split unity so that one kingdom is not as strong when you have everyone. But then when you break it into two kingdoms, it's cut in half in strength. So the enemies can easily come in and take out part of that kingdom and the other kingdom not. So they took out the northern kingdoms. And honestly, those 10 tribes, nobody knows what happened to them. They're not even... There's no history anymore. We don't know what happened. They were assimilated to other groups. And there were two tribes that were left at the southern part of Israel. Those two tribes finally were actually conquered by the Assyrians and taken to Babylon. That's where Daniel comes in. The book of Daniel, they were already in exile. They were already prisoners. Daniel was a prisoner. He wasn't in Israel. He was in Babylon, which is Iraq, Iran, that area. So that's where he was when that whole thing happened. You know, he was with the king Nebuchadnezzar. And so that whole thing took place in a different place. But they destroyed the temple and got rid of the temple. And they took all of the Israelites into a four-way place as prisoners. Doesn't that sound like fun? But that's really what's happening with Ezra. And all of a sudden, Ezra's coming on the scene, and God's saying it's time to rebuild what was taken away and stolen or conquered. So this is Solomon's temple is what was destroyed, and Ezra is now going to rebuild, through God and through the people, the temple of God. Now, you have to understand, in the Old Testament, the temple represented the very presence of God. Jesus had not come yet, so the temple was that holy place where God dwelled. So that was very important to them. So it says, when the seventh, which I love that fact that it was the seventh, that's always God's number. See, even in these historical books, you find these little nuggets. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua and his fellow priests and Zerubbabel and his associates began to build the altar of God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in according with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So what this is saying is, before any physical building was going to be built, they did a sacrifice to God. Now, Jesus is our sacrifice. So that's the foundation. It was a foundation of that temple. Not the physical, but the spiritual foundation, the sacrifice. His sacrifice is the foundation of our temple. Isn't it a great book? So I think I might do a whole series on Ezra. We'll see. Despite their fear, It's a fearful thing. You're going to a place and starting new. That's a hard thing. Out of the people around them, they were scared again that what happened in the past is going to happen in the future. They built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. So this is covering both the morning when they get up and when they go to bed. So the whole day is covered in sacrifices. You wake up in the morning and say, God, cover me. You know, he's your covering. Sometimes we call it plead the blood. If you've heard that, I'll say, God, I just plead the blood on me this morning for protection. Plead the blood on me for a new mindset. And if you start that morning with that sacrifice, it really will change your whole perception of that day. Or you can say, oh, darn, I have to get up again. Oh, it's going to be a horrible day. Yeah, if you're doing that, I can tell you it's probably not going to be a good day. But if you wake up and say, you know what, God, cover me with your blood. I may have some challenges today, but I know that you're going to help me get through those challenges. Oh, I hear you shouting. That's good preaching. I'll see this side over here. So plead the blood in the morning. And then it says, then in accordance with what was written, they created the festival tabernacles with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. So they're going through the law and they're saying, we're going to do it right. We're not going to just go build a temple. We're going to follow it God's way. That's important. After that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices for all. They appointed sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as free will offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. So they still haven't gotten to the foundation of the building, but they got back into flowing into worship with God, because the sacrifices is how they worshiped. Did you feel the worship this morning? Did you sense that newness? It's a new year and a newness taking place. And if we build our foundation as that worship to the sacrifice, then it's going to be the right blocks that can be laid. Then they gave money to the missions and missions. They gave money to the They gave money to the masons and carpenters and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they would bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa. In the second month of the second year after their arrival, so it took a while. This is 2 months, 2 years, 2 months later after they did this. Their arrival at the house of the Lord, Jerusalem's rubble, and the rest of the people, the priests and Levites, and all who returned from the captivity of Jerusalem, began the work together. They appointed Levites, which are your worshipers and your priests, to supervise the building of the house of the Lord, joining together, working on the house of the Lord. So what I wanted to point out was they began to worship together. They began to go to the sacrifice together, and then they built programs and buildings and things like that. I feel like last year, and we were in a dire strait, if you remember last year financially, we were negative $10,000 last year. We're not anymore, by the way. You guys have done a great job, and thank God for your provision, his provision, and for you stepping up to that. So we were in a different type of season. I think it was a season of pruning as well as a season of examination of where are we going. And so the good thing about God is you can always step back and say, oh, this ship is easy to change with you as the rudder. So I wanted to share now about where we're going. You want to hear about where we're going? Okay. Well, Atlanta's one place, but we have other places too. So it says, without a vision, the people perish. So I'm trying to cast a vision of what our leadership yesterday casted for our church. And a brief history. We began in 2004, and then we obtained a 501c3, so we actually had that nonprofit in 2005. And this is our fourth building. So in 2011, we moved to this building. Our first building was about the size of this platform. And actually, the first building was our house, but then the second, our real building was the side of the platform. And we've gotten to here. So underneath this platform, we have scriptures written and promises written. And I was talking to someone this week about standing on the word. When things are going on in your life, we call that standing on the word. So find a scripture that means something to you, and it's kind of like a deck. If you have a deck in your backyard or if you've been on a deck, you step outside onto that deck and you stand on that deck. Because that deck has sure footing, hopefully. If it's leaning, don't stand on that deck. But I can tell you, the Bible is sure footing, and it's not going to fail. So you say, you know what? I'm standing this word that your word says this, and I'm standing on that word. So as our Levites and as our praise team stands on this platform, underneath them are promises of God that have been written by people in our church when we were in the process as Ezra of building this building. This building was a warehouse when we came in. I mean, it didn't look anything like this. We put the carpet down and had tile all through the whole building. So it did a lot of, you think it's bad now? It was horrible then. But I love the fact that underneath that we have the Word of God underneath that platform. And that's what they stand on every time Pastor Deb and that team leads worship. This is our staff. That's me, Pastor Deb, Pastor Jenny, Pastor Gina, and Pastor Jonathan. Gosh, we look so young in those pictures. So those are our staffs. And on our website, it has everyone's email address. So if you wanted to get in touch with Pastor Gina, you could go to the website and click on her link, and it would have her email and go right to her. Go to the website. You can easily find the names. This is our board of deacons, which are fantastic. And I was sharing at our leadership meeting yesterday. They throw spreadsheets up for our meeting, and I'm like, oh, looks great. I have no idea what they're talking about. Because they're like, in 2 minutes, I do after I look at it, but it's like in 2 seconds, they've got everything analyzed. I'm like, okay, what line are you guys on? And so they are numbers people, and they're also people of wisdom. James is a project manager, and so he is a perfect person to help lead all the different projects that we have going on. Don't put our pastors doing this, because this is not where we're at. Our hearts are for ministry, but their heart is as well. They just happen to have skill sets dealing with numbers and financial decisions, which I cherish, because you guys have helped us. Like I said, last year we were negative, and we are positive now, which allows us to do a lot of things. So we're excited about what God is doing in the future. So what do? I am the senior pastor. I am the only full-time pastor in this church. So if you've contacted Pastor Jonathan saying, I was taking a whole day to get to me, he has a regular job. Okay? Pastor Jenny, Gina, they work regular jobs. So please understand where they're at. It's kind of like if you have a regular job and somebody's contacting you at 10 o'clock in the morning, you may not be able to get to them at 10:13, right? I had somebody get mad to me because I didn't reply to their text that day. I replied the next day. And I'm like, okay, guys, please don't text. I'm joking. You know, there are things in life that take place. And believe it or not, Pastor Keith is not sitting in this office waiting for you to come to me with your problems. I know. Hard to believe, but that's not what I'm doing. Saying, okay, who's going to come to me with their problems today? Just know that we're here for you for major counseling things. If you have a fight with your boyfriend, girlfriend, please find a friend to go talk to about with that. But if you have major spiritual issues in your life, that's what we're here for. Now, I'm going to say one thing. Where are my pastors? Will you guys raise your hands? Think of us as one. Don't think of us as five separate people. Think of us as one person, because I guarantee you, if you're telling me something, I will be sharing it with them and them with me. Because it's very important, if you have, all my counselors are nodding their head. If you have pastors in this church, and you, not that you want to do it, but if you ever want to talk about someone or pit someone against someone else, it's very easy to do if you tell it to one pastor, especially about another one or about somebody else in leadership that they might know. So just know that we are one. And so this also knows that if I've been counseling you for a month and I'm not able to, that Pastor Jonathan can step right in because he knows what's going on. If you have major life issues that are not spiritual, then you need to see a professional counselor, because we're not counselors, we're pastors. Understand the difference? There's a difference between a pastor and a counselor. If you're having issues with suicide and things like that, I'm not equipped to deal with that. So what I have to do is probably call the cops, which I have done. But for spiritual issues, biblical questions, we're here for that, because that's what we're trained in. That's what God has called us to do. Make a lot of sense? Okay. As far as master's class, now I'm starting master's class in February. I am so excited about this class. February 1st, February 8th, February 15th, Thursday night, 7:30. It's going to be a tough class. So if you're wanting to come to get stroked and to be coddled, it is not going to be that class. No, but this class is really about service. So if you feel called to serve God, it's going to be a class to where you need to talk to me first because I'm going to have homework involved. And you have to be at every class. You can't come to some. You can't come late. You have to be there because that door is going to lock at 7:30. I had a teacher in Bible college that would lock his class when the class started. And students at the beginning would like, can't get in. He's like, sorry, class started. That helped everyone get there on time. It also showed how important that was. This is so important for those wanting to go into ministry, especially, or to go into serving God, because we're going to talk about pitfalls in ministry as far as how to deal with people in ministry. We're going to have little breakout groups and scenarios as well. This is a trial run, so this is a guinea pig class. You're probably retaking it again because it'll probably change, but know that I will be doing it again probably in September, and I'll have those dates twice a year to where we'll focus on, but think of it as a mini Bible college, okay? Does that help? How many are interested in it? Just raise your hand so I kind of get an idea. Okay, good. This will be a good class. Okay, I'm excited about another thing. Spring Renewal. We have a pastor, her name is Deanna Jaworski. We're going to be bringing her in. She pastors a church up in New Jersey. Amazing woman. We've known her for years. We felt like she was the one for this year to come in and preach. We're still nailing down a date. We'll have the date probably within the next 2 weeks when I talk to her this week. It'll probably be in April or May of this year. So stay tuned for that. We'll let you know that. It's going to be basically a revival service coming in. So we're excited about that. All right. Facebook page. Do you know we have a Facebook page? Okay. This is a Facebook church. So if you don't have a Facebook account, create a fake name like, you know, Twyla Pansy, whatever you want to do. Or Pansy Twyla, whatever, you know, or Butch Kennedy, whatever you want. Create that page and join the group because we have Freedom Sketch here, who is Joy. And I'm like, you know, I don't even call her Joy anymore, I'll call her Freedom. So, but you can go there so nobody knows it's you, but you still can be partake because not only do we have a Facebook page, but we have a secret group. In that group, you have to ask one of us to add you, but in that group, we put a lot of information about things going on in the church. So if you join that secret group, you'll know about some information there, okay? And then we have a newsletter. If you have not been receiving a newsletter, on the very back page, I have a piece of paper. Please put your name and your email address, and we will add you to the newsletter as it's going out, okay? It's on that very back table. So, okay, moving on. So one thing that we're going to be doing, I'm excited about this. There is a church, Stone Creek Church, up in, I think it's up in Alpharetta area, this one I'm talking to. They have several campuses. But we were at your Halloween party. So Danny and Christina had a Halloween party, and we were there, and I met this guy named Matt. Matt was a guy, I'm saying older, he was my age. Matt was there, and there was this younger gay guy with Matt. So I'm assuming it's an older guy with a younger guy, right? Wasn't. He was straight, and this was his gay son. And he happened to come to the party because he knew Christina or something. So while we're talking there, he says, well, I go to a church. Would you guys ever be interested in helping us with city service? I said, tell me what that is. He said, it's when you go out to the community and you do some service. Long story short is, I said, yes. So instead of trying to create a wheel, God kind of gave us a wheel that's already created to be a spoke in. So we're going to find out more about the things that they have planned and that we're going to be announcing those as well. So that's one of the things also that we are excited about. The other thing we're excited about is we've decided to join the Evangelical Network, or called 10. 10 is a group of LGBT-affirming churches throughout the country and the world that have affiliate churches. So it's a network. And last year, Pastor Deb was amazing in her worship. She brought Lloyd and Tracy and the worship team up there, some of the worship team, and they led worship at their conference. This year, their conference is April the 9th through the 12th in Chicago. I mean, August. What is wrong with me today? Oh, my glasses now. August 9th through 12th. And they're going to have a conference in Chicago. So I would love to have a group of us go up there to that conference. Wouldn't that be fun to go to kind of like a mini GCN? That would be kind of cool. It's a great group, and I want to say something about this group. That group also changed leadership as well last year. And one of the reasons I feel really good about the group is I really love the leadership that's in there now. You guys have met Sean Thomas. He did the concert here. He's that project manager, and Brian Ladd's on the board. So they have a lot, Pastor Leslie, they have a lot of really great people that I feel very comfortable with on the board, and I'm excited about what they're going to do, and they're excited about us coming on board as well. So we plan on joining the 10 networks. We'll be a 10-affiliated church. So it's not just us. How about that? Cool. And then the last thing I'm going to mention is, you guys remember Pastor David Livingston? That's him on the left preaching when he was here. He's a missionary. Well, he's not a missionary. He's a pastor in India. And he started over 30 churches. He has a Bible college. And huge kid shifters. Man, missions gets me. Huge children's ministry where kids from all over the neighborhoods come and they teach the kids and they instill God into them. And we're going to sow into them. We're going to sow financially into them as a church body. And he's even asked us to come do a mission trip there. So there's a lot of exciting things. Snap out of it. Missions just gets me because I just have a heart for missions, and it's hard when you do. But I know God's got people in here that can go and do some of those mission things for this church. I'm excited. Are you excited? I feel like God is really just giving us some clear vision about what to do. I'm excited for that. Are you in master's class? Pastor Jonathan is going to come up and talk about prayer and youth.
Praise God. Don't you love a pastor who has such a heart for the lost that he can't even talk about it without crying? I love that about our leaders. So my heart is really in prayer, and we are going to restart our prayer ministry here. It may be a little different than what you've experienced in the past, than the prayer meetings you may remember from your days on Wednesday night at the Baptist Church. The Apostle Paul calls us to pray without ceasing, to be in a constant season of prayer or a mindset of prayer throughout the day. He says, pray in all types of ways. Pray with thanksgiving to the Lord. Pray with worship to the Lord. Pray with petitions. That's asking God for needs, specific needs that we have. And then he also says, additionally, pray in intercession. Now, intercession and petition are two very different things. What we typically did growing up was petition. We prayed for those that were in the hospital or sick or diagnosed with cancer. And praying in intercession is spiritual warfare. It's something very different. And so as a group, we're going to learn more about that. We're going to practice in that and exercise in that. It's standing in the gap. And it's really about praying the heart of God. So in intercession, you don't come with your list of things that we need to pray about. You come listening to what God leads you to pray about. And there are times in our intercessory prayer early on a Sunday morning that, man, things would just seem to go off in a direction no one imagined. But God brought such clarity through with that. So a couple of things will happen. You'll actually, in a prophetic way, you'll learn some things that God is up to because he's going to guide the group to pray in certain ways. You'll also be praying in spiritual warfare, and you will see things change in every ministry of this church, I promise you, when we have a group who really feel called to this type of prayer, praying over the church. Intercession is also one of the spiritual gifts. And so there are some of you right now who your heart is about to leap out of you just hearing about this. And if that's you, please contact me. What we're going to do is actually going to be on a Tuesday night, since master's class is going to be on Thursday nights. On a Tuesday night, we'll actually have a conference call number that I'm going to provide for you guys. So no matter where you are, if you're traveling like me 70% of the time, or if you're just too far to get to the church, we'll dial into the number and we'll pray together. Have a brief time of talking about what intercession is and what we feel like God has us focused on for the church, and then we'll just let God lead us through that time. So look for that in the newsletter and Facebook. I'll make sure that you know what that conference call number is. I'm still working that out. I have the number, but I want to test it before I send you all to it and then have to correct everything. The other ministry that I have been over in the past is the youth ministry. And I will admit that I have done a horrific job, and I apologize to the parents in the congregation. again, my job requires a ton of travel and many weekend conferences that I'm required to work, already 8 on the schedule this year. And so I'm just not here as consistently as I need to be. There are some other youth ministers who have been pulled in other directions. And that's just been a burden on me, which is all seeming to come to God's plan. And Trent, can I tell? Trent is actually stepping up and going to help out with the youth ministry, which I am thrilled about. He is the right man for this. If you know him, there in the kid in this church who's not going to feel connected to him, whether boy, girl, straight, gay, transgender. It's an awesome man of God. He has a heart for young people, and he's just going to be great at this. So I am looking forward to working with you and supporting you and giving you all the resources that you need. So good things are coming, I promise, for the youth ministry this year. I promise you that. And thank you to Trent.
I am actually the luckiest person in the room because I have gotten to work with the musicians and the artists of TGPA coming up on 7 years. Easter's going to be 7 years. Yes. Yep. It's real good. And all 7 of them were good. I didn't have like 3.5 good ones and 3.5 bad ones. So the worship team has grown, as you can tell and as you can know. Goodness, even just 3 years ago, we probably had 4 stable, solid people that were here all the time, and then just some fringy folks. And we've grown to be a team of like 17 people that we communicate weekly. We have rotations. So it's been a blessing and to accommodate that. I remember when we rearranged the stage, because it's hard to fit 11 people on a stage meant for 4. And in that has come opportunities for leadership, opportunities for, you know, I work full-time as well, and so I've needed a lot of help. And I just want to let you know that Tracy schedules, we actually have to have a drum rotation because we have so many awesome drummers. And I know there's more of you out there. I know that, believe me. Tracy schedules Joy, Freedom Sketch schedules. Loida, how about Loida? She's been taking on a lot of the leadership this year, which has been just wonderful. So just know that we're putting things in place. We've got people put in place to help us grow more, to help take on even more people. Second quarter, you're going to see Open Jam start back up. That's been a great place to sort of create a pool of musicians to pull from when we have a need. Another place that you can get involved if you want to be is special music. So if you sing or if you play and you want to do a special like during offering, you should do that. That's where a lot of our people have come from. Special productions. Michelangelo is not here, but he's just been super instrumental the past couple of holiday seasons in helping pull together some special music, special holidays. Loida has also been a huge part in that. Another thing that happened this year, which I love all these connections we're making with other organizations, other places. Collins Memorial United Methodist Church. I'll just tell you a short little story. They invited me to come do a songwriter event. We went. My little band, and we got rained out. So we wound up in the sanctuary. All the people left. Everyone that was there had left, except for our little band and then our friends that came. And they were all late, so everybody got there right as, you know, the rain had come. And so we're sitting in this sanctuary, this beautiful sanctuary of Collins Memorial, and it's the pastor and like 15 lesbians. And it was kind of like, well, let's sing. And so we sang, and she said, you know, can I talk to you guys? I'm like, sure. She said, I have this burden to become an inclusive church. What should I do? Should I put a rainbow sign out in the front? We're like, no, don't do that. Should I start to wear a rainbow stole? No, please don't do that. And we're like, well, let's just pray and let's just see. And who knows? I mean, A, you're sitting in your sanctuary with 15 lesbians, so you're well on your way to becoming an inclusive church. And but her thing was like, how do I do that without alienating my congregation? You know? And And I'm sure a lot of pastors are thinking that, how do we do this? And so an opportunity came at Christmas for people from TGPA to go sing in the Collins Memorial Choir. So I want you to know, we did the Handel's Messiah for Christmas. We're doing Handel's Easter Messiah for Easter. And just know, this is going to continue. So if you're a choir person, and that little itch is not getting scratched here at TGPA, I see that the Lord is making connections. Join us for that. That's going to be awesome. And I'm super grateful for that. I love how the Lord is building these bridges out to the world, to the mainstream church. It's going to be great. Yay.
Thank you. That's awesome. So really interesting talking about building bridges, because that's what the Lord's been kind of doing. But I was talking about Israel earlier, and I was telling Deb that this week I got an email from the country of Israel wanting me to go to California to represent them at a conference to Christians. So pray about that, because I'm thinking, like, straight Christians. He's like, yeah, they don't know you're gay. He said, but we all fell in love with you. We think you would do a great job of representing God in our country. So I'm like, okay. So country of Israel, I might be a Jew. Who knows? So Pastor Jenny's up next. Talk about home groups. Whoops, I'll go this way. Nope. Oh, we were out of order. That's right. Here you go. I'll get you up there.
Okay, who has been here long enough to participate in one of our home groups? Okay, awesome. Yay. Like he was saying earlier, 2018 was kind of a stinker of a year, personally for me. Oh, I just tainted 2018. I hung around him yesterday, and now it's happening. No, 2017, but I know for me, a huge void was missing those little mini churches that we set up every week around Atlanta. We are different than a lot of community churches, because we all come from all parts of Georgia, North Georgia, South Georgia, to come here, Tennessee, to come here to be together on Sundays. So it's really difficult when you live so far and not everybody is right down the street. So we miss out a lot of that, you know, kind of old school community church feel. And that is a burden that is on my heart. And that is something that I need desperately, is to have a community that, you know, close by. I know Blake and Randall now, we moved to Grayson. So we know we've got Bethlehem right down the street. We've got Chelsea. We've got a lot of people in our neck of the woods now, that I want that to be our community, and to know that our house is open. So if you need something, you know where to come. You know where to find us. If you need a casserole roll brought to you, my wife can cook something. If you're sick and in the hospital, you're right down the road. It's your home group that comes and is there for you. And I don't know about you guys, but that's vital. And I feel like we missed that in 2017, just not being in a place to be able to pull that off. But the good thing is 2018 is here. Woo! Thank God. 2018 is here. And by March, we're going to have that starting. So what I need right now, though, is I need to know who has a home that you're wanting to open. It could be a home, it could be a space, a coffee shop or whatever. I like homes just because I really want to, I really want our church to grasp that community feel that we miss out on, because we all live so far away from each other. So, but if your house isn't, where you feel like you can, that many people can park or whatever, and you want to do a coffee shop, we're open to it. But we'll be taking the east side, as far as the Lawrenceville, Snellville, Grayson, Bethlehem. What else is over there? Duluth. So if you live in that area, will you raise your hand just so I can see? Oh, okay. Awesome. So we've got a house already set. We'll be opening up our home for that area. If you live on the west side of town, Douglasville, Carrollton, Dallas, Hiram, and you have a house that you're willing to open up, please contact me. If you're on the north side of town, I don't go there, so I don't know what's up there. I'm just kidding. If you're on the north side of town, please, by all means, if you're in the Midtown area, if you're on the south side, the Hayteville, Stockbridge, Riverdale, McDonough, if you've got a home on that side and you're willing to open it up, it's one time a week. We'll be getting with you as far as the day goes. And maybe some days work better for some communities than others. We're open. We're open to it looking differently. But our number one goal and priority is for that to be the church outside of the church. So if you need prayer, that's where you go. If you are sick, that's who you call. If you need a casserole, that's who brings it to you. And we all work together in doing that, right? So that is the goal. That is the aim for 2018 home groups. Are you guys excited about that? Okay, do you guys see the need for that? Do you agree? Okay, all right, so email me, PastorJenny@gbtchurch.com, or hit me up on Facebook Messenger. I see that as well. Let me know if you have a house that you are willing to open up, and we'll go from there. We'll see who's in your area and who is willing to connect with you and work with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Loida, Spanish church. Iglesia de Español.
Yeah, that's a pretty picture. Okay. Well, on the second Sunday of every month, we are meeting with a Spanish church. So if you want to learn Spanish or are trying to learn Spanish or know Spanish, or if you have friends that speak Spanish, this is something that's been in my heart for a long time. And when I came, that was one of the things that when I looked at the website, even though I'm fluent in English, kind of obviously. But that's one of the things that I saw on the website, that there was a Spanish ministry. Sarah as well, right? She saw there was a Spanish ministry. So, and that's what attracted us to this church. If you know anyone that's Hispanic and this is, invite them and bring them over. And we usually have food at around 1, good food. And then at 1:30, we do our service in Spanish. So everyone's welcome. And thank you.
Amen. Hey, that slide, that one PM is not right. So come and join for lunch and then stay at 1:30. They'll actually go into that. And then go ahead and come up. So Braden's going to come for a second. We're starting Sunday school in February. So, and Braden's going to teach it. Have you not met Braden? He is starting seminary. When do you start? Next week. So isn't that fun? Hey, little schoolboy going to seminary. So fun. All right.
So I guess one of the things I noticed about, as you can see, I like to eat. So I'm going to compare this to food, to a meal. I've heard actually a few people do that. Church is like a meal. So when we come here on Sundays, we have worship and we have, a sermon and we get together. Well, to me, that's like, the meat of the meal. That's like the center of the meal. But when you eat a meal at home, you don't just eat meat, right? You have sides and stuff to go with it. Some things we've talked about today, these are all sides and things that go with it to make a complete meal and make a, fulfill the bigger picture, and help fulfill the full potential of the church. Worship and sermon, the sermon is, they're excellent. They're extremely important. That's not what I'm saying, but these all go with that. I'm going to ask a real question. I'm going to raise my hand first because I have personally been there and I'm still there sometimes. If you have ever felt intimidated to read the Bible, and that intimidation has stopped you from reading the Bible because you're afraid you might not understand it, raise your hand. Okay. So I'm not, good to know I'm not the only one. When I started my undergrad in theology, I was nervous, because I've grown up in church and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared to do this. What if they're, it's just, things get so confusing, but they really don't. And I was blessed to have a lot of professors that explain things in a really, simple way, and it helped me grow my faith and my understanding of God. You really think you understand something until you can really understand the Bible. I promise once you understand the Bible, you understand things in a totally deeper level. So I kind of want to be that person, for you guys. I want to help you understand the Bible. I want to help you feel, you know, not, I don't know if unintimidated is a word, but I want you to feel unintimidated to sit down each day and study the Bible. Because it's really not complicated. It's really easy and really good to understand. The first, I guess, little workshop I'm doing is I'm calling it The Old Rugged Cross. That's a hymn for some of you to know. You know, I grew up Southern Baptist, so it's one of my favorite. And it's going to be basically a discussion and teaching on who was Jesus. The humanity of Jesus, because that's so important. The first week's lesson is going to be the biblical importance of rest. So I'm going and, you know, taking things from Jesus' life and making them topical, but then also, you know, teaching you, you know, who Jesus was. Sunday school is going to be very conversational, very easy. It's not going to be, you know, super. You're not going to feel like you're sitting in a college class, you know, and you're like, your mind's going to be blown away. It's going to be really easy. I want us, you know, to come and talk about things together, you know, come to Sunday school with questions. And I may not be able to answer all of them for you off the top of my head, but we'll find an answer, you know, together. But it's just a safe place for everybody to come together and not feel intimidated by the Bible. The Bible's really cool. If you haven't read the Bible all the way through and you just, I'm geeking out. I'm a dork. So, but I can sit down and talk for, Michelangelo's not here, but he will tell you, my husband gets super annoyed. We will sit down together and talk for like 3 hours about the Bible. I'm just a geek. But we're obviously, this is not 3 hours every week. But I just want y'all to come together, you know, and all of us come together. This is really good for new Christians. If you're a new Christian, this is a really good place for you to be on Sunday mornings. This is going to help you start that foundation for biblical understanding. This is a very good place for you to be. If you're not a new Christian, it's still a good place for you to be, because I promise you, I don't care how many times I read something, I'm going to learn something new from it every single time. And then I hopefully will learn things from y'all too. So anyways, I'm really excited about it. I think biblical, who is it? Jenny, you're the pastor, you're the biblical education pastor. So I think she can agree that biblical education is vital. It's a vital part of church and also just being a Christian in your, you know, your daily life. So.
Amen. So thank you for that. We're excited about that. Children's ministry, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're in a process of changing some of that. So I'm not going to let you know what we're doing until we know what we're doing. But it has always been a very difficult ministry for us. What happens is we have a whole bunch of people that volunteer, and then after a few months, Trent winds up being by himself all the time. So we're working in that area. Please pray for us as we kind of decide what we need to do in that area. We know there's some parents who have infants that can't come because we don't have a nursery. And so that's been very clear to us as well, that it's might be easier to have an older child in the congregation, but the nursery ones, you can't put them by you and all that. So stacking babies, I learned about stacking babies yesterday. I've never heard that term, but a mother said that. I'm like, okay, stacking babies. Like, anyway, so we'll let you know more about children's ministry as we find out what the Lord is doing there, okay? And then a potluck. So we love Kathy, and you can stand up. So that's Kathy. I know most of you probably never heard of her before, but not only does she call our new visitors for us, but she's actually volunteered to help us be in charge of the potlucks. Potlucks, I've heard from so many people, they have loved. Have you loved the potlucks? Have you enjoyed that time? Saying, I've got to know people that I've never would speak to in church otherwise. And so it's going to be every other month, the first Sunday of the month. You said remember, right? First Sunday of every other month, bring a dish. We will have a sheet in the back for the things you can sign up for, and we'll do all that stuff so we know what's going to be taking place. And then we will go in here, and we're going to have Kathy recruit a team to help us set up tables and do all that stuff as well. So we're excited about the potlucks.
You know how Kathy recruits?
I do. She says, like I do, oh, will you do this? Or here, do this. Yeah. That's awesome. So we have the dates there. We'll be sending the dates out, but it's going to be February is our first month, and then April 2017. Just joking. Okay. So, all right, going on, meetup.com. I'm so super excited about Meetup. Meetup.com. If you have your computer or your phone and you type in meetup.com, it's a worldwide app. and website. There are groups for everything. If you like to fly fish in Atlanta, there is a group for fly fishing at meetup.com. If you're a math geek, there's a group for you at meetup.com. There's also a gay Christian Atlanta group on Meetup, and we happen to own it. So I'm going to bring up my meetup.com volunteers and owners of this to talk a little bit about it.
Woo! Yep. So we're really super excited about this. Personally, I found the church through Meetup. You type in gay and Christian, and it comes up, and that's when we had home groups and went down the rabbit hole of Google, and that's how I found TGPA. So we're pretty excited about this. So to kind of go off of what potluck is getting to know one another. So we sit in these rows, or maybe we're in home groups, but there's a lot of people that maybe in the church that you see that you just don't have time to develop relationships with. And so that's one of the reasons with Meetup is just, okay, we're a huge big family, we all love each other, now let's just spend some intimate time and have some fun and have some activities and just spend time together. And then the other half is because when you type in gay and Christian into Google, and that's what it comes up with, to have events for people who are looking for that family and that community. So the 18-year-old version of myself who was Googling and needed that family could find it. And there are other people out there who want what we're so grateful to have. And so that's kind of the other half of Meetup, to have activities, because